It's Mother's Day week, and I can think of no better guest than my organizing mentor, my mom, and my sister to talk about organizing strategies for larger families.
Welcome to Cocktails and Containers, your source for organizing strategies perfectly paired with a cocktail. And now, here's your host, who needs a little wine to go with her kids' wine, Christy Lingo.
Hello, and welcome back to Cocktails and Containers, and happy Mother's Day to all you mamas out there. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day to hang out with me. We've got a super special episode today featuring my mom and my sister, and we are going to talk all about staying organized when the kids in your house outnumber the adults. And I've got a great recipe for a sparkling peach Prosecco punch from honeyandlime.com, so you can make that by the pitcher this weekend to celebrate you and your mom life for Mother's Day. For those of you who are new to the podcast, my name is Christy Lingo. I'm a professional organizing, lip sync battling, occasional hit workout-ing mom of two boys who specializes in helping families simplify and organize their lives so they can focus on doing what they love with who they love. If you need to catch up on past episodes, pin a cocktail recipe, or leave me a comment about what you'd like to hear on a future episode, you can visit my show notes, which are located at podcast.simplesolutionsorganizing.com. And I won't make you wait any longer. Here is my chat with two of my most favorite people on the planet Earth, my mom and my sister.
This might be the worst. This might be the worst idea I have ever had. All right. Hi, ladies.
Hey.
Thank you for agreeing to come on my podcast.
Are you going to talk? Or are you just going to be quiet now? You've been jabber jaws for the last 15 minutes, and now you're not going to talk that I turned the microphone on?
Okay. I feel like people are watching us. Maybe we should pull the shades down.
Mom, it's a podcast. Nobody can see you.
They get out there.
Nobody's watching you out there. And if they are, they don't know what you're doing.
Okay.
So, hi. I'm here with my mom and my sister, and we're going to talk about organizing for bigger families. Like, families when you get outnumbered. So I have two kids, so we're running a little man-to-man defense at my house, and you both sort of come from running the zone because my sister, and I'll let you tell, my sister has four kids, my mom had five, and so you guys have a little bit different, I feel like, outlook on how to sort of stay on top of things or maybe different issues in your family than I would have with two kids. So we're going to chat a little bit about that today. So with that, let's start out by me asking, did you plan on having bigger families? Was this the plan from the outset? Or did it just sort of like, oh, we really like kids. We're going to keep doing this. Let's start with mom. Hi, mom.
Hi.
You can fix this, right?
Just answer the question.
Okay. Well, we had our two children, you and your brother, and we had one of each, so we were pretty happy, but we wanted to have one more, and so we had one more, and then we thought, well, we need to have one more, so we had one more. And then your dad said, I think we should have one more, and I'm like, I think we have enough, and so then we had the fifth, and that was it.
And did you grow up thinking that you wanted to have a big family, or did you grow up thinking like you just wanted to have kids, or did you not have a plan?
I did not have a plan. I knew I wanted to get married and move to Germany for 2 years.
Okay. That's a solid plan. I like that plan. What about you, Brooke? Did you set out when you got married to have a lot of kids, or?
My husband and I have been together since we were freshmen in high school.
Babies.
such babies. And we both come from a family of seven. So we each had three brothers and a sister. And I think that growing up in a larger family for both of us made us know from the beginning that once we got married that we wanted to have a bigger family. I think once we actually started having the kids, Jordan started to backpedal on it, but I just love babies too much. So.
Yeah. And you've got a two-month-old, right? Is he 2 months?
2 months.
2 months. So how old are your kids right now?
I have a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 2.5-year-old, and a 2-month-old.
Babies. Lots of babies. Mom, how old are your kids right now?
Let's see. 40, almost 41.
Nope. Try again.
41, almost 42.
There you go.
I believe Jeff is 39 or 38. No. 38?
Yeah, 38. There you go.
Ooh, how old am I, Mom?
You are 33?
Good guess.
Okay.
That was a good guess.
Then 31 and 27.
Babies.
I didn't like that. Some of them.
And before we get too much more into this, ladies, we are having a cocktail today. So we are drinking a sparkling raspberry Prosecco punch. And this is, we put some raspberries in the bottom of the glass. We added a half a cup of peach juice, and then we filled the rest of the glass with Prosecco. So it's basically like a Bellini with a little bitter raspberry twist on it. And it's a really great Mother's Day cocktail if you're hosting like a Mother's Day brunch or you just want to treat yourself nice on Mother's Day. So cheers. So I find that with all the moms that I work with, and especially with those who have a little bit bigger families, there are sort of three areas that moms really struggle with, and that is scheduling, stuff, and meals. Those are sort of like the three biggest pain points that I feel like in any size family, but especially as your families get bigger, you know, you've got a lot of people going a lot of different places. The more kids you add at more different levels, you have a lot more stuff because there's certain kids need certain things at certain ages. And then food. I mean, you're just like always having lots of food.
So much food.
So much food. So we're going to kind of hit on all of those areas. So let's start out a little bit with the food. What are some ways that you have found that have worked as far as feeding larger families and some things that maybe you struggled with or sort of tips that you found that you maybe haven't implemented yet that you think sound like really good ideas when you're trying to feed a large family? Brooke, what, since you're sort of like there right now, what are some things that are working for you and some things that you are struggling with?
I definitely struggle with getting my kids to eat what my husband and I make for dinner. So usually every night I'm making two separate dinners, but I've found a way to sort of make that work for us. If I'm cooking, say, tacos for my husband and I, the kids will eat a cheese quesadilla. So like there's ways to make like a similar type dinner. So I'm not having to do two completely separate things. But that's what keeps me sane.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of moms out there that do that. Or they even have to make like two and three separate because like this kid will only eat mac and cheese and this kid will only eat chicken nuggets and stuff like that. So I really like that tip as far as like, can you make tacos friendly to the way that your kids are eating? So I think that that's a really great tip. And I know that you, as far as like meal planning and sort of keeping the food out, you were really into couponing for a while, which I feel like could be a really its own sort of like whole episode that we should do at some point in time. But are there any sort of like basic tips that you have as far as shopping for food for a larger family that you could just kind of toss out there?
I mean, obviously couponing is huge because you can save so much money by doing the coupons, and nowadays it's super easy with all of the digital coupons. I just make a habit of checking every couple of days on like my Kroger app, and I'll make sure I have all of the current coupons downloaded before I go to the store. Another big thing that I would recommend doing is keeping a list of all of the things that you know that you buy all the time, like those staple items that you keep in your house that always need to be stocked. Because eventually those items will go on sale. And if you can keep track of the rock bottom price you can pay for those things, and then once they get that low, buy a bunch of them at once, enough to get you through till the next time they hit that rock bottom price, then you save so much money.
So what kind of staples are you talking about? Like paper goods or like food?
All of it. All of it. Like obviously you want to make sure you get like shelf stable food.
Right. Not, obviously not like strawberries.
No, you don't want to stock up on those. But like things like paper towels, toilet paper, all of that stuff is good to stockpile. Shampoos, any kind of toiletry items, and then like cereal, those kind of things. Sometimes you go to the store and it's $3.50 a box, and sometimes you can get it for 79 cents. So when it's 79 cents and you buy 10 boxes, it can get you through till the next time that cereal goes on sale for 79 cents.
So really, instead of shopping sort of like for what your family needs in the immediate future, you're sort of creating almost a store in your own house to shop from of your family's favorites.
Right. All those staple items that you know. I mean, obviously, you're still going to have to go to the store to buy your bread and your milk and your items that will expire. But if you can stock up on those shelf stable items, that will save you so much money.
I love that. What about you, Mom? Like, I know that you had some really good systems in place when we were growing up. So tell us a little bit about what you used to do.
One of the favorite things that I did when I had all the kids at home was I made up a 2-week meal plan and sat down with those two main meals and wrote up a list of everything I would need to make those. And I didn't do 14, I did like maybe 10, because you're gonna have leftovers, you're gonna go out to eat, you're gonna grab something else that's simple. But I would do 10 meals for a 2-week period and write down everything I needed to make those meals. And then I added to the list, like you say, the staple items. You knew you needed peanut butter and jelly and mustard and ketchup and, you know, those things. Added those to the list. Had the list divided up into your different sections, and I made several copies, like 4 different sets of those, which would last you 2 months, because every 2 weeks would be, you know, if you had 4 menus, that would mean that would last you 2 months. And so you weren't repeating the same recipes every week.
Like you... I do.
And all you needed to do when it was time to go to the grocery is grab one of those. I made copies of them. Okay, this next 2 weeks, this is what we're going to have. I'd go through the cupboards, mark off what I already had. What was left on the list was what I needed to get. And I didn't have to sit down and think, oh, what do I need to make this? What do I need to make that? It was all right there. You could mark off what was in your cupboards and head to the grocery store. And that was it.
And I mean, this is like computer days, like is back. Like you had it. I remember you had like a notebook and you had like cards. So like doing something like this with your family's favorites, you know, picking 4 or 5 of your favorite meals for this. So like 8 to 10 per time period would be so easy now. So you go to Pinterest, you label lists like week 1 or, you know, like list 1, list 2, list 3, and you pin your recipes to it. You put all the ingredients down and then you just sort of rotate through. It would be such an easy thing. Regardless of the size of your family, but I feel like, again, when you're dealing with a lot of people eating a lot of food in your house, you've got to have some sort of system to manage the food, because we have it super easy. On top of the fact that we only have 4 people in our house and 2 are little people, Adam works at a grocery store. So, like, I literally am texting him, like, we need X, Y, and Z every night. So it's super easy for me, but I know managing the flow of food is something that is very hectic for a lot of moms out there. So I think that those are some really great tips. So, more thing.
The other thing that I would mention on the making up the menus is I would try and have the variety so that we weren't eating a lot of the same meals all the time. So you would have maybe 1 pork meal, a couple of chicken meals, a beef meal, a couple fish meals, and you would change those. So then that way every 2 weeks you were eating a variety of meats.
Well, and that can help too with the budget for your meat. So like if you want to only eat beef once every sort of cycle as you're going through here, because beef is more expensive than chicken, but you don't want to eat chicken every night, because I feel like we eat a ton of chicken. But you know, you add a shrimp meal once in a while and a beef meal once in a while and a pork meal once in a while to change it up. So I think that that's really good. Once you look at your recipes, you can kind of spread maybe the ones that would cost a little bit more money out with the things that are like pasta and sauce that are going to cost you a little bit less money. So I think that that's great. And you could always be going in and sort of tweaking and adding new things. So next up, the stuff. Like that's probably numero uno, the biggest thing. And I think mom's still dealing with the stuff. Full disclosure, I still have stuff in my mom's attic. Basement or attic or wherever it is
all
at this
of
point
you do.
In time. All 5 of us do.
I'm going to need a refill to talk about stuff.
You went to my mind.
The stuff is overwhelming.
It is. Well, and the thing is, so we were spaced roughly about 4 years apart, all of us. So when I was in high school, Jeff was in junior high, and then, you know, you have ones in elementary school. They're spilling drinks over here. But, you know, so it's one thing to have kids kind of spread out, but it's another thing, Brooke, to have like what you have, where you basically have seven and under, and you have four of them that age.
Yeah.
So what is either your struggle, or maybe we'll start with mom here. Like, how did you deal with the stuff? Spreading us out and having like girl, boy, boy. You were changing genders. We were spread out. How did you deal with the stuff?
I think the biggest thing that we did as you guys were growing up is we had designated areas. Like, your stuff stayed in your room. And then we had one back porch area in the one house where that's where all the toys
stayed.
It was like
a toy room.
Right. Or when we were in another house, it was a section in the basement. And that helped keep it kind of confined to either your bedroom or that area, so there wasn't stuff all over as far as toys. As far as other things that like clothing and things you'd outgrow, I think we just kind of... I'm not sure what we did.
It's been a long time. But I think that what's really different about what I see from when what you did, which as my sort of mentor, I learned from you, and that's how I sort of developed my organizing skills, and that's kind of how I am able to do things today. But I don't remember a lot of our toys being in the main family living spaces. And that's one thing that I see a lot with the struggles and the people that I work with, is that those toys and things like that sort of wander all over the house. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it feels overwhelming. And so I think that that's one thing that you did that really sort of has resonated with me. We have that whole area in the basement, the family room in the basement, where we basically didn't have toys in the basement because we wanted an adult space. We wanted a space that was sort of free from kid stuff. And I think that that's probably due to the fact that, like, you were that way. Like, if we brought a toy into a room, we took it back to where the toys lived. And so I think that that's a very good thing to sort of implement. You don't have to have toys everywhere. And I think sort of limiting the amount of space that toys take up in your, or giving them a special place, will help you say, okay, it's really getting too full in here. We need to pare back or refine.
I think another thing that I did was, and I've tried to talk Brooke into doing this, but I don't know if she's done that yet, but she has an enormous amount of toys. And at one point, I remember with you kids, I had three bins or boxes of toys that I would fill up, and then they were hid away in the basement or whatever. And every once in a while, I would bring out one of those new sets of toys and pack that box up and put it away and then rotate those. And it would be like, oh, cool, we got these toys. We haven't played with them for several weeks or whatever. And it really helped cut down on the amount of toys being out. And it also gave that extra, oh, cool, I haven't seen this
for a while. Well, because with kids, they have such a short-term memory, right? Like, out of sight, out of mind. I was talking with somebody in a couple episodes ago. She'll find something like, you know, false teeth from the dentist, and she'll be so excited about it, and they're brand new. And the mom's like, oh my gosh, I forgot we had these, let's throw them away. And the kid's like, oh my gosh, I forgot these, I had these, let's play with it. And because it's fresh and it's new to their mind. So that's really a good idea. Like, if you feel overwhelmed, can you create a bin someplace else in storage that you don't have all those toys out to play with necessarily, that you have like a rotating cycle through the toys?
I mean, they're obviously going to have their favorites that they like to play with. It will always be out. But there's a lot of those other toys that they would probably not play with as much that you can rotate those. And that way they will play with them when you bring them out, just because they haven't seen them for a while.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's great. How about you, Brooke? Are you more in the struggle phase, or are you more, you have a strategy?
I come and go. Like, there will be times where I feel like I have it under control and I have it all organized and I have it all put away and I have a system and the kids cooperate with the system. And then there will be times of chaos where it just gets out of control and things go too long without being put away or being organized correctly, and it just becomes overwhelming. And so, like, we struggle back and forth between.
Well, I mean, you basically have a birthday or a holiday pretty much every other month in your house, so that's probably doesn't help to adding to the chaos.
Well, and I have a mother-in-law who loves to spoil the children, so that and it's just a lot of stuff.
It's constant. It's coming in. So do you ever talk to anybody about like cutting back on the stuff that's coming in, or do you feel like you'd sort of be depriving your kids of stuff if they don't get presents? Do you do anything personally to stop it, or are you just sort of like, I'm gonna live with the chaos for right now?
I just kind of let it go, because in my mind I'm like, whatever, they only are young for so long, and like if they love a toy and they only love it for 2 weeks, then we'll donate it to somebody who will love it for another 2 weeks.
right. And you're not stressed about it then?
No, I mean, the only points I ever get stressed is when the mess is out of control, but I don't mind the fact that my children have a lot of things to play with, because they do actually play with everything. They will go from Ninja Turtles one day to Hot Wheels the next day to Barbies the next and Hatchimals, and they're all over the place. They play with their toys. And they're very imaginative and creative, and it keeps them away from the video games and, you know, all of that junk. So I'm okay with the toys because they actually use them.
And do you have a designated space, right? The toy space. And you don't have a whole lot in your main living space also, correct?
No. Again, because of the way we were raised, I hate toys in the living room. I just do. And so we have a bookshelf, and we also have a small, like, storage container, like, toy box that they can only keep certain things downstairs, and then the rest of it is all in the toy room. And inevitably, things come down, and the bookshelves get overflowed. And about once a week or so, we dump everything into a big bin, carry it all back upstairs, and put it away where it's supposed to go in the toy room. We call it the boy room toy room. This is the room where my two boys sleep. So, and also all the toys.
All the toys.
We gave up our big bedroom, my husband and I, to host the boy room toy room.
The boy room toy room. But I think that, so that's a really great point, is that I think maybe a lot of times when moms are feeling completely overwhelmed with all of the stuff, it's because it's everywhere. And so maybe it's something that you need to look into. Can you sort of combine some of the things we talked about? Can you create a designated spot either in rooms or in a basement or a back porch or someplace that the toys would live that isn't a main shared living space, so that when the kids go to bed at night, you're not necessarily staring at all of this mess and toys and clutter. But then also, if you don't feel like you have a lot of space to do something like that, implement the idea that mom said, as far as like, can you rotate the toys? So it's like every season or every month you bring up a different bin so that you're still using these toys that people have given you, but you're not having all of them available all the time. Because I find, you know, we're at the point now where there's pretty much no toys anywhere except for the boys' room, which is, you know, they have, again, they're the same way. We gave our boys the biggest room in the house so that they could have the toys and their bedroom in the same room. And we find that because they have so much, a lot of times those things just get dumped out because they're looking for one specific thing.
Right.
And it's like if we would just sort of pare down what they had to the very favorite things, rather than having 150 Matchbox cars, if they had 30, then all of them wouldn't get dumped out when they were looking out for their favorites, you know, that kind of thing. And that's kind of where we are right now as far as us dealing with our stuff. So I think those are really great tips. So lastly, scheduling, which I'm not sure, Brooke, if you're quite as crazy with the schedule.
Not yet.
As
just getting into it.
Right, because Ella is in first grade now. And Aiden is just in preschool. So do you have a lot of activities and things like that you're into?
No, and I am probably not the norm, because I feel like these days people overschedule and are like constantly doing things with their kids. I am trying to keep them like away from all of that for as long as possible. And it's not that I don't want them to have those opportunities, but I need to keep myself sane. So I will limit our activities to just like a handful of things. So my calendar that I keep on the wall is pretty slim.
Yeah.
And I'll try to keep it that way for as long as possible.
Well, and we are the same way. We're not different. And this is probably, again, a product of the way that we were raised, in the sense that I usually sort of either pick or let my boys pick one activity per season. So, you know,
right.
We played soccer in the fall. In winter, Quinn played basketball. Avon didn't really have anything that he wanted to do in the winter. They're playing soccer right now, and they wanted to play baseball. Well, okay. Avon wanted to play baseball. Adam wanted Quinn to play baseball. So we're doing baseball in the summer. But I try to limit it to one thing because both for their sanity, because you usually have a practice and a game, but then for my sanity too. Yeah. Like, I feel like part of the reason why schedules feel so stressful is because we're freaking chauffeurs running all over the place all the time. And so, Mom, you can speak to this because, I mean, like I said, I was in high school. Jeff was in junior high. You had kids in elementary school. How did you keep it all together? I know. Once I started driving, that was a great thing.
That was a great thing.
But, like, what are your tips for keeping the schedule sane when you have, like, a lot of different kids going a lot of different directions?
Well, I think one thing that kind of along the line of what you're saying is we kind of limited the kids to activities because it wasn't like we wanted to be driving all around several days a week and trying to get kids from one activity to the next. And so we kind of limited to the things that they were really interested in and really wanted to do. The other thing is just trying to think.
You had a great calendar. I remember that you had like a big calendar that would live on the side of the fridge and everyone had their own color.
Right.
And so I think that that was a great way to sort of keep track of what was going on where, because you knew that if there was, I think I was like purple or something like that. Like if there was too much purple, you were like,
okay, you got too much.
Yeah, you got too much going on. Right. You know, like I just remember that was a great visual way. And there are ways that you can either do that with a big calendar. Like I know Staples and places like that still sell those like big calendar pages that you can do per month. But you can also do the same sort of thing with your digital calendar as far as color coding everybody's schedule. I know that the boys are on my calendar and then I shared it with Adam so that every time I update something from the boys' schedule, he gets a message, which drives him crazy because he only uses his phone to check on Buckeye football and ESPN. So if he gets anything that's besides that, he's really annoyed. But I shared the schedule so that he knows when the boys' games are or when their practices are and things like that. So if you need it in a Some people still need, like, I like having a paper calendar. I like having that visual thing, like, in my kitchen. But if you want a digital way to do it, you know, color code everybody. Create a different calendar for everybody. Make sure you enter in, like, right away. When you get school schedules, when you get sports schedules, doctor's Girl Scouts, doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
Enter it in and give everybody a different color. Or if you're doing it on, on a paper calendar, give everybody a different sticker. However you need to do it, just sort of, like, keep track of who's going where at what time. So that, because if you don't write it down, you are never going to remember it. Like,
no.
I only have two and I can't remember. God bless you, Brooke, when your kids get older and you've got, like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it, but you'll have at the same time I am. But, you know, it's going to be chaos, but it's a controlled chaos.
You'd like to think so.
Yeah.
And from an older, wiser mother, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, that was
going to
be...
Because it will go so fast.
Yeah,
because, it is going to be chaos. It's going to be clutter. It's going to be crazy. But it's going to be over with very quickly. So try to, in amidst all that, to take the time to enjoy what you're doing and that you're driving your kids to activities. And
I have a sign in my living room that says, "Pardon the mess, my kids are making memories."
That's a great way to look at it. And I just had an episode a couple weeks ago with a wellness coach, Stacy Crew, who was talking about changing your perspective on things. And when you're feeling overwhelmed by the toys and the mess and the clutter and the schedule and the meal planning, Can you stop for a second, take a deep breath, look at it, and realize that everything is temporary? Can you just sort of let it go for a minute and live in the moment, not worry about perfection, and enjoy being it? Because it's not going to be there forever. It's, right. They're not going to be little forever. The mess isn't going to be there forever. The stress isn't going to be there forever. Just sort of embrace it.
Yeah.
And be there. So with that, this is my Mother's Day episode, and aww, you kind of just touched on what I was going to say, but as a mom who sort of lived it already and has grown kids, and we're so amazing and successful.
You are. Yeah. I am very proud of all my children.
But what would you say to moms like Brooke and I that are in the trenches right now? What is your biggest piece of advice that you would give us?
That wasn't on the form of questions.
It was, actually.
Piece of advice for you daughters. I guess the messes will be gone someday, but the memories that you make, allowing them to make messes, allowing them your house to be dirty so you can sit down and play with the kids or do a craft with them or read a book to them, is going to be far more memorable than having a clean house or not being able to enjoy the kids, because the memories are going to last when you're old and the house is empty. And when you can look back and think of the things that you did with your kids, you'll be proud of that. I don't think a mom's going to look back and go, oh, I wish I had had a cleaner house. No, most moms are going to say, I wish I had spent more time doing the fun things with my kids and enjoying them.
I think that's perfect.
It is.
Thanks, Mom.
Love you.
Oh, that was so fun. I hope you got some great tips for keeping your family organized, no matter what the size. And one thing that I realized as I was editing this podcast is how much my sister and I really learned from the habits and skills my mom instilled in us when we were young. This is sort of the first time that I realized we had so much in common in our mom lives. And I think that's an important takeaway, that you are setting your kids up for the way that they will run a household and be a parent in what you're teaching them right now. So really think about how you would like them to be when they are adults and when they're parents. And with that thought, here's a quick review of the tips from my mom and my sister. Brooke says, if you're having trouble getting your kids to eat the quote-unquote adult food, try to make something similar so you don't have to cook dinner twice. For instance, if you are having tacos, maybe make cheese quesadillas for your kids. She also recommends taking advantage of the digital coupons at your local store and keeping track of the things that you always buy and watching for them to go on sale. When they hit their low price on sale, stock up then and create a sort of store in your home of these staples, and you can shop from that store until your favorites go on sale again. Mama Lingo suggests creating 2-week meal plans containing about 10 recipes. Create 3 or 4 of these meal plans and then lists that correspond with all the different ingredients you need to make all the things in those recipes. Before you head out to the grocery store, grab one of the lists that correspond with your menu and do an inventory of what you have so you know exactly what you need to grab when you go to the store. When it comes to the toys, try to keep toys in designated spots and out of the main living areas of your home if you're tired of looking at toy clutter. And when Brooke and I talk about creating these designated spots for toys, bear in mind that we do not live in super huge houses. Brooke has about 2,000 square feet for the 6 people that she has in her house, and we have around 1,400 square feet of living space for our 4. And don't forget Mama Lingo's suggestion of creating bins of the toys that aren't your kids' number one favorites. This helps to clear up the space that you need to dedicate to toy storage in your rooms, and the kids will love playing with them because it'll feel like it's something new when you bring out that bin. When it comes to scheduling, both Mama Lingo and Brooke suggest to limit the number of activities that your kids are involved in for your sanity. This doesn't mean that you want to deny the kids opportunities, but it does mean that you want to be able to have time to keep up with all of those other things that you need to do around the house without feeling like you're stressed.
There's plenty of years for them to be involved. Don't worry, they'll get their turn. Make sure that you use some sort of calendar, whether it's paper or digital, to track everyone's coming and going. And be sure to share that calendar with everyone and be very conscious when it starts to get too full. And don't forget Mama Lingo's wise words. Most moms will not look back and say, "I wish I had a cleaner house," when their kids are older. But they will look back and say that they wish they spent more time with their kids when they were little. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to today's episode. And thank you so much to my mom and Brooke for joining me. Although, full disclosure, I did bribe them with cocktails. If you enjoyed today's episode, you are going to want to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the organizing and simplifying ideas or cocktail recipes that I have for you each week here on Cocktails and Containers. We've got some great episodes coming up to finish out season two, like next week when we will be talking kitchen and pantry organizing with Allison Flynn from Reclaim Professional Organizing, or when we wrap up season two with Jessica Littman, aka the Organized Mama, talking all about end of the school year organizing tips. Until next week, may all of your things be tidy and may all of your cocktails be strong. Cheers!